We have to have a very fair assessment of this academic and intellectual icon of early Islam.
His impact is more pronounced in jurisprudence that he formalized.
And tens of thousands of statements and teachings have reached us from Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue and I'm your host Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, in his brilliant lectures and research and his knowledge and wisdom, touched upon the issue of monotheism. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, in his brilliant lectures, his knowledge and his wisdom, and his speech and actions, he touched upon the issue of Tawheed, Islamic monotheism, of course, which is a concept which is at the forefront of Islamic thought. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam responded to the doubts that came about upon this issue of Tawheed by various anti-Islamic persons with the intention of spoiling the beliefs of the Muslims. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam had a steady program to remove their doubts. He cured the issues of monotheism that the people had by using his knowledge and wisdom and referring to philosophical arguments, as well as referring to sense-based issues that pointed to self-evident, obvious truths that allowed no place for refutation or disputation. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. There is a dialogue that occurs between Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and a Christian woman who had come to His Eminence to ask some questions about the hijab. We find that a Christian woman from the city of Hira came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam one day. She respectfully asked the sixth divinely appointed Imam, "I am researching the hijab of Muslim women. Why do you force women to cover their hair? To me, this seems like a restriction and an insult to women, because you leave men free and you cover women up." Imam Sadiq alayhi salam very calmly replied, "Oh, my Christian sister, is it not in the current gospel, the gospel of Barnabas and even Matthew, that a woman must cover her hair during worship and even at other times? Paul, the apostle in Corinthians 1 says, 'If a woman does not cover her head, it is a sin. Because of the angels, a woman must have a head covering.'" So modern distorted Christianity has abandoned the original command of God. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam continues, "Islam has prescribed hijab to preserve the dignity of women and not to degrade women. A pearl is kept in its shell, not placed in a chaotic market. Man is also required to lower their gaze so both man and woman must be chaste. This is justice and not one-sidedness. The Christian woman reflected over these powerful words of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and then replied, I am convinced and I want to observe hijab when I become a Muslim. The first tip here, dear brothers and sisters, is that we have to explain the hijab in a very careful way. And of course, we need to explain the hijab as a part of the dignity and the value of women, and not as a restriction. Again, we have to look at the positive side of what's going on. We find that the enemies of Islam, of course, have tried for many years to attack this concept of hijab, to vilify this concept of hijab. Of course, when you go deep into the reasons and the roots for this vilification of the hijab, we find that, of course, it is lustful desires of men that want to remove the hijab and the dignity of women. And of course, you know, we also have to take into consideration that men are also responsible for controlling their gaze. It is not that men can look at whatever they want and only women must cover up. It is both men and women that have to observe chastity, but there are different ways of observing that chastity in order to attain justice and in order to become this perfect human being. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. IRIB English Radio, our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now let's listen to Sayyid Muhammad Jawad Al-Ghazwini.
At this terminal time, brothers and sisters, as Bani Umayyah were declining, Bani al-Abbas were rising, people would come to Imam al-Sadiq, come on, let's do something. So this is where I want to relate the life of our imams to what could happen in our life today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, 100 years from now. The imams, they did something that lasts longer. They planned ahead. You want to be politically active, it really does not make sense to take all that energy and exhaust that energy in 6-7 hours, weekend, we go and we shout and we carry flags and we put flags down and we put flags up. Now, there are a lot of people will not like what I said, but take that opportunity to educate people. Instead of 10,000 people spending 7 hours there, take $1,000 from them, start endorsing individuals in your local community, in your local government, start creating a think tank, start creating relationships, and that is how you plan for real power. Or else if we're just about shouting and we want to make some noise, anybody can make noise, but we don't want to make noise. You want to have real influence? Establish a chair. Establish Imam Sadiq's chair. Establish Amir al-Mu'mineen's chair. Establish Imam Hussein's chair. University of Houston, establish a chair. University of Austin, establish a chair. We live here. We breathe here. We probably will die here. We'll be buried here. Our children are here. We make money in this city. We have to give back. This is what the imams taught us. The imam, he established this university to give back to society while there were turbulent times. And I said yesterday and the day before and the day before that there was always planning for political movement and opposition. It's not that the imam was passive. No, let me just take my pen and paper and write and teach and I don't have any interest in politics and I don't care what happens. No, that's not what I said. But the imam was not looking for something that happens overnight. The imam was planning ahead. At that same period, there was a, I would call it a fraction within the community of the Shia. Now, the Shia are already outnumbered. They're already weak. the son of Imam Zain al-Abidin, who was Imam al-Sadiq's uncle. He is Imam al-Sadiq's uncle. He had an uprising. His name was Zayd bin Ali bin al-Husayn, also known as Zayd al-Shaheed. He had an uprising. He mobilized an army. And he came to the Imam. And, you know, I have to discuss Zayd some other time because there's a lot to be said about Zayd. And if I say a little bit, then it's doing injustice to Zayd. But the Imam, he cried for Zayd. He cried for Zayd. And he sent rahmah upon Zayd. And he said that if he had made promises that he's going to give the reign and the khilafah and the authority to me, Imam Sadiq, to the Ahlul Bayt, and لو انتصر لوفى, if he would have been victorious, he would have done that. He's a truthful man. He's a good man. He prayed for him. But the Imam also told him, Zayd, you're not going to find victory. But I would say he was very angry. Zayd was very angry. And inshallah, one day I'll talk about Zayd and why he was so angry that he had this uprising.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.